Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jack! Are the hopes high?
Good afternoon, James. Fire Matt Klemczak, hire Chaim Bloom.
Yes.
I'm not even going to say anything else besides this podcast, besides those.
You're just going to repeat that over and over and over.
I tweet it out every morning. I'm now putting it on this podcast.
So you're like trying to speak it into existence.
It is literally all I care about.
Me too.
It's all I care about. It's all I care about. Well, he is more important than anything this organization has done in the last 4 years.
I agree with you.
Besides Harper.
Maybe.
And probably Real Muto.
No, let's be real. Let's be honest. Probably more important.
Having a good...
Bryce Harper, you could argue, because of the Scott Boras tie-in, and we'll get to the at the yard pod and what they had to say. We'll get to that. So maybe you could argue Bryce Harper. But legitimately, we're talking about the guy who's going to steer the franchise potentially for the next... Hopefully, you know, decade plus or whatever.
And would be good at it.
Yeah, it certainly seems like you put out that tweet where the, or quote tweeted or whatever. The fact, I mean, we've talked a lot about how what the Rays are doing. The Rays playing in a playoff game tonight, made the playoffs with the lowest payroll in baseball, but just how low? 55% less than any, I mean, that's insanity. The fact that they made the playoffs is every major market team should be firing their front office, except for, of course, the Dodgers and the Astros and these types of teams that are winning. I mean, it is, when you look at what the Rays are doing, and teams like the Phillies, with the resources they have, are doing what they're doing, it's embarrassing, man. That whole front office should be getting jobs. Well, I mean, you should be poaching as many people as you can from that front office.
I mean, it's just tough to say because we don't have any recent examples of a Tampa Bay Rays executive going to a big market team and turning them into a juggernaut. Oh, wait, we have that already. You're telling me we've already seen that work before? Oh, if only... Wait, Andrew Friedman used to work for the Rays, and now the Dodgers are a freaking machine?
Juggernaut.
And I want to be a freaking machine? It's just like... Oh, my God.
All right, well, let's get to the it all kind of... We were waiting to do the pod, inside baseball.
55% lower than league average.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
That's how... That's,
than league average, yeah. That is
in league average.
I mean, that's unbelievable. It's hard to believe. So... all right, so today we've been waiting to do the pod. We were thinking, all right, we gotta wait, Gabe's gonna get fired, we gotta do the pod after that.
Yep.
Good thing we waited until today, Jack, because we finally got some information from the people who cover the team. It started with Jim Salisbury, who says, I'm hearing nothing's gonna happen today. So everyone starts to, you know, kind of back off a little bit. Then Matt Gelb tweets out a reminder that it took the Phillies 8 days after the 2005 season to fire Ed Waite. The longer this goes, the more questions there are about leadership above the manager. That got everyone's ears perked. All of a sudden, it's like, whoa, is this more than a Gabe Kapler decision? Then, of course, start with the bombshell. I'm hearing buzz that it's now possible there won't be an announcement on the fate of Gabe Kapler until next week, which I'm taking as a sign the Phillies understand they have more to decide right now than just the fate of the manager, Jack. Yo.
Thank God.
Yo. All right, we have a lot to dive into with this. First, just your general... thoughts and impressions about this. And again, it's not a report from Stark. He is saying it makes me think, but Stark doesn't put stuff out there without
neither does
solid
Salisbury.
Information. Neither does Salisbury. Those are probably the two most hooked in guys to this Phillies clubhouse for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
What they say matters. What is your, what's your interpretation? What's your take on this whole S show right now, Jack? I didn't curse there for you, buddy. Wanted to.
I'm glad they're reassessing. It seems like they're reassessing the general manager position.
Thank God.
And I'm glad that hopefully they're reassessing the Andy McPhail job.
I would think they would go as a tandem
together.
Would be my thought.
Right, because I like we've been screaming for months that this is not an entire Gabe Kapler problem.
No.
Like, this is, it's just not. Like, Gabe is a small problem in a bigger organizational not this. I don't think they're dysfunctional. I just don't think they're very good.
Right, but this right now feels somewhat dysfunctional.
Well, it's like you've been out of playoff contention for a month.
What are you doing? How are you not evaluating these guys? How do you have no idea whether you're going to fire the manager or the general manager?
Well, and Gabe Kapler's at Citizens Bank Park yesterday doing work.
Like going to his office.
No, it's like the poor guy. First off, you should let him interview somewhere else if he wants to do that.
Absolutely. I mean, there is a team out there in the Giants who have already been said to have real interest in Gabe Kapler.
It seems like the worst kept secret in baseball.
Well, and who runs the Giants?
Farhan, who hired him.
Yeah, of course. And also, you know, former Rays guy as well. So,
Farhan's a Rays guy too?
Former Dodgers guy, excuse me, not Rays guy. But from, you know, worked under Friedman with the Dodgers and stuff.
Farhan's
infrastructure. Yeah, Farhan knows what he's doing. So, look, I'm with you. I really want Matt Klentak gone. I think it is imperative for the future of this franchise because I just don't believe that he's going to get better. I don't believe he's going to be able to lead this franchise where it needs to be. We don't need to dive into the organizational issues they have, but there's no depth in this organization of talent.
What is the case for keeping Matt Klentak?
That's my point. I'm with you, but again, the case is that John Middleton said in March he's an elite general manager. In March, Jack, it's October. And again, the team was already built. John Middleton knew what the team looked like going into that season. And he said, elite general manager, compared him to Branch Rickey. Yeah. All these types of insane things. When you hear them now that he's considering firing him, I mean, dysfunction isn't that far off of a word. It makes me feel like John Middleton has no idea what he's doing.
Well, there's a reason why they are 11,000 losses. Is that what?
Officially. How about that? Was it? Could there have been anything more like synchronicity, perfect type of thing to 81-81 to end the season, and it's your 11,000th loss as a franchise? It was just like, of course
it is.
Yeah.
It was about as 2019 Phillies as a 2019 Phillies could get.
It was perfect. It was too perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I wish I had known going into the season that they were 81 losses away. I wish I had noticed that because I would have predicted 81-81 because it's just so perfect.
It's what happens. The Middleton thing is just, I just don't know. Here's my hope. My hope is this.
You're a hopeful guy.
I'm a positive, high hopes guy.
We know.
My hope is that John Middleton is having his Jeff Lurie moment. He knows that the guys that are running this organization right now are not fit for the job. Andy McPhail blows. Andy McPhail is pointless in this whole thing.
Again, even alone, if we don't comment to say that out loud to media, he should have been fired for that one comment alone. He should have walked out of that press conference in Middleton and should have been like, get the F out.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I can't believe you just said that publicly to the media. Like, oh my God.
Well, it would have been the quickest turnaround in baseball history. Missed those days. Yeah. Said, hey, we're still in first place.
At least we don't ever have to hear that again, which is nice.
I don't know what you guys are complaining about. Right now, in May, we'd be in the playoffs. So I don't know what you're complaining about.
The season ended today, Jack.
Andy, love it, buddy. And I just, like, Matt Klentak's been here for 4 years, and the fact that they don't have him, like,
They have two prospects. They have two guys who you feel like can be all-stars someday.
No power.
They have two guys in the whole freaking organization.
And, like, they're a step behind when you're looking at, like, everyone talks about, oh, they went too far with the analytics. No, they haven't. They're behind.
What they do, the problem is that first and foremost, they probably, it seems, have too heavy a reliance on the numbers they're told. You do need a balance. There needs to be some sort of feel with this thing. Human beings are not robots. You know, I say that all the time. It's one of my things. Like, you can't tell everything from the numbers. But outside of that, I think the bigger issue is that it seems like they don't know how to apply these analytics. It seems like, yes, they use analytics, but they're using them incorrectly.
They do not know how to use them.
Clearly. We saw it last year with the defensive shifts. A perfect example of it, that they just didn't understand how to shift. No. That was the issue.
They changed their whole philosophy in the offseason. Like, they came into the season last year talking about how great they're going to be at shifting, and then they had to change. They had to literally flip it. They had to flip it from figuring. They last year with the shifts, they tried to do it to the batter rather than to the pitcher's strengths, and they get burned. Mm-hmm. And then they flipped this offseason, and it was fine. Like, it was better, but like, why are you doing something you don't know what you're doing?
Well, that's the point. To have that batter read on something that's so fundamental especially when we're talking about analytics, where every team in baseball seems to understand shifting. Literally, pretty much every team. You know, there are a few teams that shouldn't be discussed in any sort of discussion. I mean, the Detroit Tigers lost 114 games, like, whatever.
Oh, our future scouting director from the Orioles, probably.
Can you imagine? Yeah.
James. Me and James have talked about this off the air. There are a few scenarios where you're never getting another High Hopes podcast.
Yeah, no, we might shut it down.
Yeah.
We might just be like, all right.
There's no point.
Sorry. Because you know why? Because there are no hopes. Hopes are dead. That is on the table here.
If they bring in another Orioles guy, they bring in Socha.
Socha would be bad. Honestly, no joke, and this isn't going to happen, and Todd Zielecki put this name in his articles.
Don't.
Ruben Amaro, I might want him more than Mike Socha. That's how bad I don't want Socha. The point is, I obviously don't want Ruben Amaro. Those are the two worst possible.
Why was he
I have mentioned? I have a theory on it. To be honest, I think what it is, I think the Phillies are doing him a solid. Whenever people start
to... Why do they
have to
do guys
solids
all the time?
I agree with you, but I think what it is we see this in sports all the time, especially in the NFL, where once a guy is on those lists, once a guy is interviewing for managerial jobs, other teams seem to like take that to heart and give those people opportunities and interviews and stuff. So I honestly think they're doing Ruben a solid and just saying, hey, we'll put you on the list. Maybe we'll give you an interview, but you're not getting this job. But now people will see, oh, we gave him an interview. Maybe we should give him an interview. And so I think that,
and then
I
will
know
they
how
say,
stupid it is, but stuff works like that.
And then will they say, oh, you interview with the Phillies, another dumb team. We're not going to hire you. Like so they're hoping
he gets
hired by a dumb team.
They might.
He doesn't know what on base percentage is.
I know.
He said the prospects don't matter.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'll manage.
You know, this whole relitigating of the Ruben Amaro era recently is driving
me crazy. Actually, really wasn't that bad. Yes, he was. He was that bad.
He had absolutely no foresight. No, I think he did get hamstrung in a couple of things, but after they moved on from the core, like you could have done some other things.
Absolutely. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, let's talk about this fun team.
The point is, Mike Socha, Ruben Amaro, if they're announced as manager of the team, High Hopes is probably not happening anymore.
And if they hire a Orioles guy to be their scouting director.
Yes.
Well,
or an Angels
personally.
Guy, to be honest.
Yeah.
Either or.
But there's so much Orioles stuff.
It's way too much.
Why are we investing so
much
in 100?
They've been the worst team in baseball for 5 years. What are we doing?
They did what the Phillies did after their run. They went into the absolute tanks. Yep. They had nothing in the system.
Well, and they've been worse for longer, too. I mean, they've been really bad.
Well, I mean, they did it. Well,
when was the last playoff run with Showalter? Was it 2014, 2015?
Yeah, well, the Phillies was 2011.
No, I know, but the Phillies also didn't start really rebuilding until like 2015. You know what I mean? Like, they were like holding on. God. This is so sad.
Imagine if we get the podcast back then.
Oh, we would have been losing our minds. Thank God we didn't do that.
Yeah. Sounds like a disaster. Yeah. I'm hoping that John Middleton is like, yo, these guys are not where we need this baseball team to be. I think John Middleton, in his heart of hearts, wants to be a big money spending owner, but on smart decisions. And I don't think they've made smart decisions obviously they haven't, outside of Harper and Realmuto.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, like, those moves are right in front of your face.
Yeah.
They're right in front of your face.
Anyone can trade their best pitching prospect for somebody else.
Dude,
anyone can sign Bryce Harper to a $330 million contract.
The Gene Segura contract, or Gene Segura trade, is looking like an absolute disaster.
Yeah, it's actually unbelievable. That was a trade where, in the moment, people were hailing Mac all around baseball. What a trade!
Well, maybe not all around baseball.
You know what I mean, though. Like, it was hailed as a, wow, what a great move. It's looking like a disaster. They're talking about moving Gene Segura off shortstop.
Yeah, 1 year in.
Doesn't that sound great? Don't you want to be your second baseman? And then Scott King. And here's the thing.
You know what sounds even worse? Him being my third baseman.
Yeah, well, that too.
Hitter.
Yeah, I mean, that's a disaster. That's a disaster. And here's the thing. I actually think Scott Kingery would be a better shortstop. If you put Kingery there every day and told him to, like, all right, you're the shortstop, he'd be better defensively than Segura. He's more athletic. He's got better range. Segura sucks. Segura's not a good shortstop.
No, he's
really bad.
He's too chubby.
Like, Kingery is better. But again, Kingery should not be the shortstop either. I'm just saying, like, that shows how bad Gene Segura is.
Yeah.
But, what is the plan, Jack? What is the plan? What are we doing
here?
You
honestly want to know what it is?
Yeah.
And it all goes back to that Andy McPhail quote about before he got to if we don't, we don't. He said we want to be the quickest turnaround in baseball history.
But you weren't. It's over.
No,
it's
no,
done.
No. I know. But they made moves in the short sight to be the quickest turnaround in baseball history.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you got Gene Segura. That's why you traded J.B. Crawford and Carlos Santana for Gene Segura.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they made win-now moves, and they pushed their chips in on a team that just wasn't good enough. Like, that's what it is. And Segura, like, You got to try to flip him this offseason. You have to try to flip him.
Sure. For what?
I don't know.
Anything?
To get off that contract?
Sure. That's my point, though. What are you going to do? You're going to have to pay part of that contract.
That's such a disaster.
Who's taking Gene Segura after this season and saying, oh, I want that guy, especially when it seems like everything you hear is he's a douche in the clubhouse, too. Nobody seems to like Gene Segura.
Dude, gonna say it. Gonna say it.
Say it.
Trade him and sign Freddie as a stopgap.
No, you didn't. What if... Oh.
Stopgap Freddie?
Oh, God, what is happening?
It's a one-year Freddie?
What is happening?
Oh, it's 1 year of Freddy.
All right. So this is how you know how bad things
have
gotten.
1 year of Freddy.
Jack Fritz is asking for Freddy Galvis to come home.
Listen.
This is it.
20-some home runs?
I don't even know you. I don't even know who you are anymore. What has happened?
Jackie Old School?
Oh, my God.
He's a gold glove shortstop.
This is a disaster. All right.
No. But in all seriousness, Freddy on a one-year deal, bring up Stott next year, and let's ride.
Okay. So you're trying to be optimistic with Middleton and what?
Well, because I don't think he can be as bad.
I think
as
he
this
has no idea what he's doing as an owner of a baseball team.
Yeah,
that's what I think. What do you mean? Why? He's a billionaire. That doesn't mean that he's a baseball owner. That he's a smart baseball owner.
What if he sees his team? He thinks the team is on verge of like going down the wrong path.
Then clean house.
This is what Lori did.
But Lori, first and foremost, Lori had a lot of experience as an owner before then. I mean,
Middleton's been a part of the organization since 95.
Right, but he has not been the primary guy. It's a different thing. He's in charge now. And furthermore, again, just because, and we see this a lot with like, we usually see it with children of owners, like whether it's the bus kids or whatever, you know, you see it where these people become owners because their dad was rich enough to buy a team and ran a team, and then their dad dies, and then they're the owner of the team, and they're completely unqualified to do so. James Dolan, a terrific example of that.
I don't know, I like what he's building up there.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, he's doing great. He loves music, so that's good. I I'm not saying that Middleton can't get there, and I do agree with you that at his core, I do think that John Middleton does care about winning. I don't think that he is strictly a businessman and is just there to increase the value of the team or this or that. I do think that he wants to win. I just don't think he has any idea how to do it.
I think he knows. In my gut, right? Like you're talking from your gut. Right.
I'm talking from my gut.
Your gut is saying,
obviously, I want him to be great. I want him to be exactly what he says he is, a big boy and Steinbrenner of the South. Like, I want that.
Well,
sure.
I would like Steinbrenner when he was in jail and when he didn't try to trade.
Like a nice little mix of Hal and George. How about that?
I just want Brian Cashman.
That'd be great.
Here's the thing. This is me speaking totally just pie in the sky.
When is that not the case, right. Jack?
I mean, I did just say I want Freddie Galvis back.
I know. That's true.
If he fires Matt Klentak and fires Andy McPhail and he brings in Chaim Bloom.
So he's Jack Middleton again.
Then he's Jack Middleton.
Okay. I can get on board with that because I do agree. I know it's.
I think he hasn't been this involved.
I mean, that's one move. Like, he literally could change our opinion with one move, and it's bringing in someone smart to run this team. This isn't that hard, but I just don't. It doesn't seem like he knows what to do right now.
But here's the thing. Like,
He called him an elite GM in March.
But it doesn't. He was just excited about getting Bryce Harper. We all know what that was. Like, I don't think we can look too much into that.
Elite.
Yeah, but I know.
General manager.
I know. Like, he's four all stars. I know. That's why he said it. But he has not been this involved. He's only getting involved because he feels like there's such overwhelming pressure to do something. Like in the past, when he just let Matt Klentak do what he wanted to do, he let Andy McPhail. He was very hands off. He only feels like he has to get involved now because he feels like the team's falling apart. Maybe he was in the owner's box in week one of the Eagle season talking to Lori about how he did it.
I like that spin right there. That was good.
Jackie spins?
Yeah.
Like he hasn't been this involved. He's only gotten involved recently when this thing is looking like it's spiraling out of control.
Let's take Jeff Lori off the table and again, he got very lucky with how it all worked out. I don't think Doug Peterson was the first choice. We all know he wasn't the first choice. There was a lot of luck involved in how it all worked out. Yeah, he fired Chip Kelly, props. He put Howie back in charge, which ended up being the right decision. But there was a lot of luck involved in that.
Yes.
More so, how many examples of owners being very involved in sports history have we seen be good? Be good things to have happen to your team. How often does that happen?
Don't ask me that question. Because I know the answer. But I just don't think he wants to be as involved as he is right now.
Okay.
That's right.
I hope you're right.
Because
about
I think that.
So your hope is that John Middleton is recognizing there is a real problem with this franchise moving forward. Like, this is almost a pivot point,
yeah,
potentially for the franchise, and that he could potentially get rid of Matt Klentak, bring in someone smart, and then step back again.
I hope so. And I think he would
spend the money.
I think he would spend the money then. I think he would spend the money and invest in something he believes in. I don't think he believes in this team right now. Like,
oh,
I just
no,
don't.
Should he? I mean, who?
No,
why
he shouldn't.
Should you believe in this?
But
team
like,
right
that's
now?
The thing. That's why I don't get. Here's what I don't get: is if Middleton just fires Gabe Kapler, then what is the point of his baseball guys? Baseball guys are telling him not to.
Well, that's the point.
Just clean house at that point.
Well, exactly.
And bring in guys you believe in.
Because if you're going to do that, and then especially bring in someone who. You know, and again, Buck Showalter might be the one example against this because he does have history with those guys, with McPhail and Klentak from Baltimore. I know, it's so ridiculous. But if it's a Madden or a Girardi or whoever it is, someone with real clout, I mean, immediately you're setting up a situation where their general manager and coach are fighting against each other inherently. I mean, they're you know what I mean? They come in and they're like not on the same page.
Good, I guess.
I'm conceding your point, I'm saying you're right. The idea that to only fire the manager in the situation they're in seems silly.
Ugh, gotta go get Dave Dombrowski.
Oh, God, if I hear another person...
Can we just
can
get
we
this
dispel
out there?
That myth?
Okay.
Yeah, please.
I feel like we have to because we're the IOS podcast.
Look, here's the thing. Dave Dombrowski won't come here because there are no prospects for him to trade away for to try and win. There's no one here. He's got no farm system to trade away from.
Let's get this out there. Dave Dombrowski is horrible at his job. He's been horrible at his job forever.
For a long time.
All Dave Dombrowski does is come in and start selling prospects and signing big contracts.
Yeah. And now that's why the Boston Red Sox now apparently can't keep Mookie Betts and JD Martinez because they gave Nathan Eovaldi and Chris Sale's money.
Your only job as a president, GM, is to keep your stars. You're in Boston. You are.
Mookie Betts is 26 years old.
Yeah, Mookie
and he's
Betts
a
is
superstar.
Unfreaking believable.
MVP of the league last year, and they're like, "Oh, it's gonna be tough to keep this guy here." Can you imagine? Can you imagine if Mookie Betts were here and that happened? We would riot. And again, just the fact that Dave Dombrowski won 108 games last year in a World Series and got fired this year tells you all you need to know about Dave Dombrowski as a president of an organization.
They went to John Henry and were like, hey, not a big deal or anything, but we can't keep Mookie Betts. And he said, you can get out.
Get the hell out.
Yeah. You signed Nate Eovaldi for $63 million?
Yeah.
Oh,
get out.
Why?
Get out.
Why? Why did you extend Chris Sale when he did?
It made no sense.
He could have just waited.
Yeah. He extended Chris Sale right after the worst Chris Sale has ever looked in his career. It's like, oh, that guy can't pitch in the World Series. Let's sign him. That's smart.
Love it. So if any of your friends, colleagues, peers come to you and say, you know what? I think the Phillies should sign Dave Dombrowski. Say to them they're dumb and listen to the iHopes podcast.
Yeah. It won't be here if they sign Dave Dombrowski. That's another one.
Another one?
Dombrowski, Socha, Amaro. Anyone else you want to add
Orioles,
to this list?
Orioles scouting director.
Orioles guy. Yes. Orioles guy X.
Outside of Showalter, I wouldn't like Showalter.
I'd be okay with Showalter.
It would not be social level.
It wouldn't be, exactly. It wouldn't be a disaster.
Because he comes in and he wins and then gets out.
Yeah. And Showalter, I do see the potential for this clubhouse, this group of guys, to need someone to come in who has some cachet and is someone who is not a disciplinarian, but someone,
they need a boss.
Yes, they need a boss. That is exactly right. And Buck Showalter would come in and be a boss. So from that perspective, he wouldn't be my top choice, but I'm not quitting on the team if they bring in Buck Showalter. My issue with bringing in Buck Showalter is it probably means that it's Klentak and McPhail who brought Buck Showalter.
That's a problem.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, like Jim Salisbury was on At the Yard.
Let's get into that.
Listen, if you don't listen to this podcast, or no, if you listen to this podcast and you're looking for like a beat writer podcast, At the Yard podcast is the best podcast. If you're looking for entertainment, fun takes, that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
But Jim Salisbury did say on At the Yard that they're looking for a boss as their next manager.
Which makes sense. Like, that makes sense.
The clubhouse needs it, and I think Harper Realmuto want that. And Harper Realmuto are what matters.
Yeah, they're the leaders of this franchise moving forward.
And they want to play for a winner.
Which they should. It's fair. Sometimes you just need that. And I'm very okay with that line of thing. And the other thing,
even because it can be for a short period of time. Like, I'm cool with bringing in an old school boss guy for
to kind of get this team back on track.
Right, and that's what it feels like Showalter would do.
You know, he's 63. You know, I don't think he's looking to manage for the next decade or something like
that. Dusty's only 60.
Is he really?
Yeah.
He feels like he's 75 years old to me. Is he really only 60?
Yeah.
Wow. He feels way older to me. That's crazy.
No, I'm just kidding. 70.
Oh, it makes so much more sense.
Oh, wow.
I was like, he totally threw me off there. I'm like, no way. 70
sounds
right.
Where did I mess
right.
that up at?
I would have said 72 if you'd asked me how old he was.
That's because Charlie's 75.
There you go.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.